Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry. Music from the ancient world outside the A train underground in Manhattan. Above ground, opulence and wealth with six NYPD vehicles standing by outside the Trump International Hotel and Tower at Columbus Circle. And it stands in stark contrast to poverty and closings in Pine Hill in the Catskills, upstate New York, with Trump for President signs on front lawns. Folks hoping for the promise of some grandeur, some wealth. That's what those who attended Trump University wanted. The judge overseeing litigation related to Trump U has now been called unfit to serve, according to Donald Trump, because he says the U.S. District Judge Gonzalo Curiel, born in Indiana, is Mexican.
We're building a wall. He's a Mexican. We're building a wall between here and Mexico. The answer is, he is giving us very unfair rulings. Rulings that people
A Muslim judge would also be unfit, according to the presumptive racist Republican presidential nominee. Reaction has been unfavorable from the likes of Newt Gingrich, the former House Speaker, and Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, who denounced Trump for calling Judge Gonzalo Curiel a Mexican. Texas Congressmember Philemon Vela wrote to Trump saying, "You are a racist and you can take your border wall and shove it up your ass." Maine Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins criticizing Trump on Monday says his comments questioning the objectivity of judges based on their ethnicity or religion are absolutely unacceptable. Meanwhile, BuzzFeed pulled out of a $1.3 million advertising agreement with the Republican National Committee over objections to Donald Trump's rhetoric. In a statement, it said, "We don't have cigarette ads because they are hazardous to our health, and we won't accept Trump ads for the same reasons." And Michelle Obama, who spoke about how our differences make us smarter and more creative, called out the presumptive presidential nominee for his divisiveness. She spoke at the City College 2016 commencement ceremony.
"But graduates, I can tell you as First Lady, I have had the privilege of traveling around the world and visiting dozens of different countries, and I have seen what happens when ideas like these take hold. I have seen how leaders who rule by intimidation, leaders who demonize and dehumanize entire groups of people often do so because they have nothing else to offer. And I have seen how places that stifle the voices and dismiss the potential of their citizens are diminished, how they are less vital, less hopeful, less free. Graduates, that is not who we are. That is not what this country stands for. No, no, here in America, we don't let our differences tear us apart, not here, because we know that our greatness comes when we appreciate each other's strengths."
The First Lady chose CCNY for her very last commencement speech as First Lady for the diversity it represents, with more than 150 nationalities and more than 100 languages. Mrs. Obama says even though students at the college have experienced challenges, unlike so many young people, they've already developed the maturity to move through obstacles, to move through pain.
"But graduates, as you all know, life will put many obstacles in your path that are far worse than a bad grade. You'll have unreasonable bosses and difficult clients and patients. You'll experience illnesses and losses, crises and setbacks that will come out of nowhere and knock you off your feet. But unlike so many other young people, you have already developed the resilience and the maturity that you need to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and keep moving through the pain. Keep moving forward. You have developed that muscle. And with the education you've gotten at this fine school and the experiences you've had in your lives, let me tell you, nothing, and I mean nothing, is going to stop you from fulfilling your dreams. And you deserve every last one of the successes that I know you will have."
Michelle Obama speaking at City College of the City University of New York's 2016 commencement celebration on Friday. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
I am the greatest.
Tributes and remembrances of Muhammad Ali have been pouring in throughout the world. Sports journalist Kofi Appiah shared his thoughts on the passing of the great one.
For me, as a young black man, Muhammad Ali represents the highest level of belief in oneself. He was willing to sacrifice years of his boxing career and money for refusing to enlist in the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War. By making that decision, Ali was exiled from the sport of boxing, and he accepted the fact that he might not step foot in the boxing ring ever again. For many people, fear of loss is a constant. This could affect people who have 9-to-5 jobs to sports athletes with huge endorsements and million-dollar contracts. Some people worried about their public reputations are afraid to speak their minds. This wasn't the case with Ali. He was a courageous champion. And Ali's stance against the Vietnam War is what inspired a generation of young people and resonates today as an act of courage, conviction, and social change.
My conscience won't let me go shoot my brother or some darker people or some poor hungry people in the mud for big powerful America and shoot them for what? They never called me nigger. They never lynched me. They never put no dogs on me. They never robbed me of my nationality. Rape and kill my mother and father. What, I'm going to shoot them for what? How can I go shoot them? Them little poor little black people, little babies and children and women. How can I shoot them poor people? I'll just take me to jail.
What he stood for went beyond civil rights of the 1960s for African Americans. But Ali's greatest impact for me was the way he stood up for black pride, particularly in expressing that through his colorful and charismatic quotes and sayings about himself as a prideful black man and boxer.
Look at the nose and the eyes, the lips. I'm actually a pretty man. I mean, I'm not conceited, I'm convinced. So that's why I'm so lucky today to be here, able to make these boasts, and now forever champion, to get away clean, to come back and get out and be able to say, I'm the first black man to win and get out clean. I'm happy to be getting out. I mean, it's been hell.
The president of Turkey and king of Jordan are joining a long line of world leaders, religious figures, and superstars set to speak at Muhammad Ali's funeral on Friday. It will be live streamed, and we will cover it. An Ali family spokesperson announced the funeral details today. California imam and scholar Zayed Shakir will preside over the service in Louisville. Speaking at the funeral will be representatives of multiple faiths, including Islam, Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, Mormonism, and Catholicism. Actor Billy Crystal and sportscaster Brian Gumbel will be among the speakers, as will be President Bill Clinton, who will deliver a eulogy. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.